Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
All right. So, with that, the reason why some of us here are tired is we went to youth convention. Yeah? All right. It was a good time. The theme of it was Jesus is coming soon. Okay. So, let's see here. Let's go ahead and play the video first. And then after that, all you youth types, when you see that video end, you know, you went to youth convention, come up here. And then also those of you that aren't youth types that went to youth convention, come up here. You're youthful types, not youth types, right? There you go. All right. So one thing that they told us in our leadership meeting when all these kids were doing whatever their kids do their youth convention when we're not there, they told us, he's like, you know, I feel that there's this prophetic word for you all, and it's enlarge your tents, right? And he was talking about how we're supposed to enlarge our tents because revival is here, that we have to be ready for the incoming of many, many youth, many people, that we're going to have to prepare for that. And I believe it. He was talking about, he's like, you know, we need to make sure that we do these things where we're not just trying to do everything, but we do a few things well. And it wasn't, because like it talks about enlarging the tent, and then it says strengthening the tent stakes. Okay. It didn't say get more tent stakes, right? But it said strengthen what you have. So these kids here, I will also say, they did pretty awesome, all right? Just to see, you know, what was going on with them and their hearts, it was amazing. I'm proud of them. And that's enough of me talking. I'll let other people share. Who wants to speak first?
There you go.
No choice.
I think camp is very fun. I had fun hanging out with all my friends there, and the services were super nice. I felt really touched over there. They're really good, and I felt like a lot closer to God over there. I felt like I got touched more. So yeah, I really liked it. It was fun. So
I thought it was really good. I wrote some stuff down, but I just got, like, out of the messages, I got that everything should be second to Jesus, and He gave Himself up so we didn't have to give ourselves up. Like, so we didn't have to die again and again. He just died for us so we don't have to go through sin over and over. And we are God's chosen. We are commanded to go and make disciples of all nations, and make the tent bigger, make more come in and more. When I was coming here, I saw like a vision. I saw like three rows filled up with just kids. And I was like, am I sleeping or is that? But then he said that, and I was like, oh, maybe that's what he was talking about.
Over there, I felt closer to God, and I got touched by the Holy Spirit, and I had fun, and yeah.
Good job. I just want to say thank you for the donations to make this possible. It was really fun, a good experience. I got closer to my church friends, and yeah. Something that stood out to me was that I have more time for God, not just on Sundays. Yeah. Yes, and first of all, thank God, and we're all here safe and in health. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for making all this possible. We always have a great time, not only the kids, but us that go and help out. It was awesome. Every year it gets better. We had them all encounter the Holy Spirit. I do have to say that I'm so proud of our kids. Not one of them sat in the seat. Not one of them stayed sitting in the seats. They all got up in one time or another, running to the front, singing, jumping, singing, and getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It was amazing. God is so good. And I believe our church is going to be filled up with our youngsters. And thank you, everyone, for making that possible. Praise God.
Church camp is really fun. The people there were really nice, made friends, and the youth pastors there, like Yo-Yo and everybody else, they were really nice. And yeah, the Holy Spirit was really nice there too. And the word Castles and Coasters was funner. Yeah.
You got brave and courageous.
Thank you so much for letting us go and changing lives. By us being able to go, we're affecting generations. Not just, I mean, think, Jesus had 12, and he poured into those 12, and that changes lives. You've poured into this youth. You've changed generations. We don't even know how it'll affect the world. And all the youth that were there and that were empowered and moved to tears, and it just wasn't the music and it just wasn't the coasters. It was changing hearts. It was giving them a fire for God. And they came back emboldened. They came back with new relationships. They came back with voices and with time that they want to spend with, a new focus. And those that are here, thank you. Thank you for changing lives. We just don't even know how it'll affect the world.
Yes, thank you all once again for all of your donations, your supports, your prayers, everything. It all adds up. So thank you guys so much. I'll just share one thing at camp. It's a question that they gave out to everybody. And is it, are you a fan or are you a follower?
Amen.
There's a big difference. Are you a fan of Jesus or are you following? Truly following Jesus. And how do we know? And it's your lifestyle. How are you living? How are you acting? So I just want to put that out there. Are you a fan or are you a follower?
Amen.
But I also once again wanted to thank everybody for your donations, helping us to get there, helping us to take the kids to convention and to really be able to give them experience where they can get closer to God, they can learn from people. And then also, you know, a big thing is building relationships. If you have relationships with other friends who are Christians, that's so much better, so much stronger than like having friends out there in the world, right? Because the people that are believers with you, they're there to encourage you, to build you up, to pray with one another. And it starts, you know, when you're young. So really do appreciate that. And then I also wanted to say there's a moment there at a convention where I felt really touched. And it was Griffin had asked for the everybody to pray over us. Over the leaders. So then he's like, youth group, you know, find your leaders. I want you to pray over them. And they prayed over us. And it was really, you know, touching to see them come over and, you know, pray for us, you know, just take a moment and, you know, share their heart with us. So really do appreciate all that.
Just so you guys know, we had 11 kids, so not everyone could make it today. So just so you know, we had 11 in our group. So
yeah. These are the strong ones that survived. Yeah, so.
These are the followers.
Ouch. All right. So thank you. And yeah, get off stage. Let's kidding.
I just want to say real quick, I want to thank our youth leaders here. They're amazing for taking care of us. Everything you guys do is amazing. Our kids really appreciate you all. Yes. And we are going to grow.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Well, everyone's sitting down, so that's good. So you don't have to... Usually I say this will be quick, which means it's going to be a while. I'm just kidding. This month is Pastor Appreciation Month. And so on behalf of the board, I'm going to call up the board and we're going to kind of introduce our pastors and youth pastors and worship leader and kind of just honor them for what they do for this church and this body. One thing about that they were talking about the youth that was something that awoke in me many years ago was, I used to talk to Henry about this a lot, is what one thing that we need as humans, as people, as sons and daughters of the King, is that encounter with the King. That's the most important thing. And the reason why it's important is because, just like kind of what's happening right now, his presence is here. And his presence, or that encounter with the King, is an announcement that he's near. But it's also an invitation to inhabitation. And like we talked about briefly last week, was the Holy Spirit has found a new home, and that home is us. So that encounter is necessary so you can be exposed to what is about to happen moving forward, always. Davin said it. When they were over there, they sensed a different level of his presence. It was real. It was tangible. And they get that at camp, too. And that's awesome. But that's not the only thing. It shouldn't be about just conference and just camp. It should be an everyday thing that when we wake up in the morning, there he is. And when we go to bed at night, there he is. And when we're at work or in the car or playing or whatever it is, he's there and we know it. And there's an awareness of the reality of the presence of God in our life all the time. And those that we come around, there's an awareness of the presence of God when we're in a room. That we talk about overflow, right? My cup overflows. That is something that we don't achieve. And I'm gonna say something real quick that I want to just kind of bless our pastors and leaders with. But it's not something that we work for to achieve. It's something that we receive. And so with that, if those that are here and leadership and Dave and Micaiah and Becca and Rosie, if you want to come up, and Henry, if you want to... You can play or you can stand up or whatever you want to do. First of all, thank you guys. You're awesome, every single one of you. Instead of going into a speech for everybody, I'm gonna read this thing. It's called The Kingdom Man. And it really is it's a picture of what you've shown me, Pastor Henry, Papa Henry, Rosie, John and Stella, Becca, and you two. Zach loves it coming here because of you guys. You guys have made a difference, you know, in that kid's life, and he tells us about it. You know what I mean? So sometimes it may seem that your efforts go unnoticed, or what am I doing here? You're making an impact, both of you, a mighty impact. So thank you for that. So let me read this. The Kingdom Man is what it's called. True success is not achieved. True success is received. Worldly men have faith in their work. Kingdom men work out their faith. Worldly men cause others to know their methods. Kingdom men cause others to know their God. The success of worldly men can be defined in certain observable methods. methods that can be cataloged, emulated, and sold for profit. The success of Kingdom Men is attributed to only one thing. The one thing is obedience to the spoken word of Yahweh. And while the obedience may be manifest in observable acts, emulation of those acts by others will never bring the hoped for success. Therefore, the Kingdom Man's success does not produce much in the way of a product that can be marketed at great prices, bringing great wealth to the man. But the Kingdom Man's success does cause glory to be given to Yahweh. Worldly men base their success upon information that can be cleverly edited to smooth away the rough edges, cleverly packaged, advertised, and marketed in order to bring great wealth to its author. Kingdom men know that their success is based upon uncompromised obedience to a revelation from Yahweh. True revelation is biting, sharp, provocative, challenging, an ever-present threat to the status quo. Therefore, kingdom men are almost always misunderstood, lonely, and rejected in their time, most often remaining a voice crying in the desert. They're recognized, honored, even revered, but always by another generation, never their own. Therefore, kingdom men are content to be leaders of a remnant, the keepers of the flame, the preservers of the seed, the protectors of tomorrow's Abrahams, Isaacs, and Moseses, John the Baptist, and yes, even the Christ. No wonder that heaven and earth together cry out for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. I bless you guys. I thank you guys, every one of you. Father, we thank you for our pastors and for our leaders that you've, from your own heart, have brought forth to this place right now in this time, for such a time as this. I bless them, Father, to continue to go and do the things that you've called them to do, to be close to your heart, to hear the whisper that comes from your mouth, that they would see and they would do and speak only what they see and hear, what you do and what you speak, God. We thank you for them. We bless them. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. Let your cup overflow. Let joy and peace and every good thing from Abba Yahweh come forth and flow from you as it has and will continue to do from now until and through eternity. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, church. We are here today because this is not a religious church. Okay, this is a kingdom-minded church. The Lord never brought a religion. When he came here, he brought a government, and he says, I'm a king. Come into my kingdom. If you come into my kingdom, I will take care of all your needs. I will take care of your provision. I'll take care of your health. Everything will be provided if you come into my kingdom. Our job is to invite people into this kingdom, to be born again into this kingdom. It's not a religion. We're here because the message of the kingdom is being preached. God wants us to be in his kingdom. So he said, don't worry about a thing. I got every need taken care of. You can have the shalom of my kingdom, of my heart. You can have it now. And that is the message we want to preach. Amen. And we want to give this in appreciation for their hard work of coming and dedicating their whole life to bringing people into this kingdom. And I want to thank you all for being here because you have not chosen God. God chose you to be in his kingdom. He said, come and taste that everything is good. Drink of the water of life. You never thirst, you know. And God is so good. Amen.
Amen.
Here, Pastor Henry Rosen.
Thank you.
It's not much, but, you know, it's from our heart. It's from our heart.
Thank you. Praise God.
Pastor John, Stella, your pastors here have a heart for God, you know, and they lead by example, and we're lucky to have them dedicate their lives for us. And the hard work of Rebecca here, bringing all the worship every week, You know, God said there's only two things I got to teach people. One is to worship God, because that's what we're going to do forever, and point them to me, because I know where they're at. You cannot lead them in their life, because they have their own experience. But teach them to worship, because they're going to worship for eternity. So I said, Lord, I can do that. I can promote worship and just go ahead and point them to you. Amen? And the hardest working couple, keeping up with the youth. I don't know how he does it. I have a teenager. I have a hard time keeping up with him. And Steve, thank you for the soundboard. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the music. God bless. God bless this church.
I can talk. But, you know, a time such as what we just witnessed right now is, you see the heart of people that are in the kingdom of God. We love each other. And all this appreciation, I know we've talked about it before. We just do it because that's who we are. It's nice to be, say, you know, someone to say thank you. But it's our heart to serve you. And I thank God for every person sitting in this room today. Because somewhere along the line, something that one of us has said as we saw the people that stood up here as leaders, I hope that something has touched your heart, and that one day your children or your grandchildren or whatever will be able to receive the fruit of what has been given to each one of you. And so thank you for being here. Thank you for loving us. And like I said, we would do this regardless if we never got recognition. And so please stand with me as we pray. I know I'm a big crybaby, but that's who God made me to be. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we are here, Lord, because we are kingdom citizens, Lord. And we want to serve you, Lord. Each one of us in our place, Lord. It is you that designates our place in this body. And whether it's in a place that takes a stage appearance or place as just sitting next to somebody, Lord, that we can just hold their hand, give them a hug. That's your ministry, Lord. You just give out your love. And however you choose to do that, Lord, let us have the eyes of our heart open to what you're doing every day, that we can be there for each other and love each other and not try to tear anybody up, Lord. Just let us love each other. Somehow your love will supersede anything that could come against us. So we thank you, Lord. We pray that we could come before your throne this morning, Lord, and just worship and praise you, Lord. Just lift our hearts to you, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And remember, amen. And remember, this microphone is also for you after a while. So let's go into worship.
I am going to talk to you, but rest in the presence of God, all right? Stay in his presence. Enjoy it. Don't be so quick to leave, right? See, my kids were both at that convention this weekend. And man, all these memories flood back, right? Of when I got to go to convention, when I got to go to camp, when I got to go and enjoy these moments. But the thing I absolutely love, and the thing that I know God's really had on my heart, even for each Sunday, it feels like it's the same things, right? But I love that when they go, there's this complete abandonment, right? They don't worry about what's going on at school, what's happening with everything else. It's like they go and it's like, all right, it's time. We're ready to have some fun and to go after this thing with a bunch of other youth because it's charging and it's fueling and it feels amazing, right? But see, that same feeling, I think of that feeling. And I loved what Tommy said when he came up about how that should be a regular thing because, see, it's not just kids that get on fire for God. It doesn't matter the age. It can be tiny little children to our seasoned, right? It doesn't matter. What matters is the want, the drive to go after God. One of Lonnie's teams that she's on. And they said something about, you can put your kids in these sports, you can put them in here, you can put them at this high level, because it is like a club for a higher level, right? They said, you can do all of that, but the one thing you can't do for them is give them a drive. He goes, that's them. To come to practice, want to get better. They have to want to be here, is what she told them. And man, this morning, whew, we can preach, we can bring the presence in here, but you gotta want it. You gotta want to go after God. You gotta want to have a heart for God. See, we can help with the tools. We can be the encouragement. But you gotta learn to be independently dependent on Him. You gotta have a personal relationship. You gotta know when He's speaking. You gotta be able to stand on His word, right? See, that's the amazing thing about not just being a part of a religious thing. With Him. He paid a price that gave you a gift, and it's a gift that so often we leave untapped because life got busy or things happened and things got put first, right? But I guarantee you that if you learn to put God first in everything, everything else falls in place. Are you a fan or a follower? And it's the same thing I know God's been talking about. I was telling my dad, we're coming to such a point, the Bible even talks about it, where there's going to be a clear division, right? But not because He's creating division, but because He's building up a body that's going to be totally on fire and operating in the kingdom. And as they operate in the kingdom, you're going to see the kingdom, which brings a clear division between earthly things and the kingdom, right? See, not because God's trying to divide people, but because as you go after God, you divide yourself. See, because God begins to, you become the light and the salt, exactly like you're supposed to be. You become a reflection of who He is. I know last week I had mentioned the thing that's in Galatians that unclean? Is it just our flesh that gives us these things? Or is it the hearing of faith, right? See, that's the thing. He asked that question. He talks about the difference between Abraham's faith, right? See, you gotta learn that everything's not always gonna look accordingly in the physical. But if you just let it go and let God, you'll begin to see him move in ways you never imagined. See, it's time for us to start stepping in the things of him, not just hearing, not just coming and hearing some cool things and saying the right things, but us actually stepping into the things of God, moving the way that he's called us to move.
Why would you take that bowl of soup? So the bowl of soup represented like all these little things in your life. Like you can maybe just be like, okay, maybe I'll just talk about this person a little bit like this, but it's okay, it won't matter. Oh, well, also they did this to me, so I'm gonna talk a little bit more about them because they talk bad about me. Oh, well, they hurt me, so I'm gonna hurt them, but it's okay. Why are we choosing to do that instead of going and be like, okay, they gossiped about me, it's okay, I forgive them. Instead of just sitting at that table with God, we're taking that bowl of soup. So we need to stop selling out, and we need to sit at that table where we have a feast that God has prepared for us.
Soup. You're talking about how Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, right? And we have such an amazing birthright, right? We that believe in God, the inheritance we have is amazing, but we can give it up for the littlest things, right? You think it's like, would somebody really give up their birthright for a bowl of soup? People have, okay? You just may not realize it. If you want to hear an amazing sermon on it, I think September 2023, somebody did a sermon called Birthright. You can see us, read houseofworship.org. No, welcometotheshow.org. There you go, welcometotheshow.org. Sorry, I had to give a plug for my own sermon. Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, hey, I've heard something like this before. I was telling Micaiah, and I was like, when did I was like, oh, wow, that's 2 years ago. All right, so anyways, one thing that we heard at Youth Convention, I mean, it was a pretty powerful, amazing story. Nobody mentioned it yet, but I'm not going to say their name. I'm not going to say where they are, anything like that. You know, the thing is there was a story about somebody they had led to the Lord. Their close family, and they didn't even realize at first what they were reading. It was the Bible, and they thought it was, you know, they said that the words on the page were alive to them. It went into their eyes, and it went into their heart, where it changed them. Yeah. And the thing is because of that, because of what all of a sudden he was starting to believe, his family wanted him dead. Like, seriously, they were coming to take his life. And it came to this moment where they actually had come pretty close, and they needed to save this person. And when they went to do that, I mean, just imagine that. Imagine if everybody you know, everybody that's close to you, turns their back on you, that they want you dead because of something you believed. And to think that your whole world can be turned upside down. But I wanted to say it for this reason, because when they went and they got this person help, they found that they'd found a new family, and that was fellow Christians, fellow believers. So I just want to encourage you, you know, just as it says here in Ephesians 2:19, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. I just want to tell you, you know, make sure that you show other people in here love. You don't know what they've had to leave behind. You don't know what they may be missing in their life. That we are here for one another. We're all gifted to do something for one another. We are all here to build up and encourage one another. We're here to mourn with another. We're here to have joyful moments with one another. We're here to build each other up. So just let me encourage you. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard talking to people, okay? You may not believe this, but, like, I'm an introvert. Is anybody? But the thing is God changed me. right? There's no way I'd be up here speaking with a microphone having no problem. Like, I know earlier I was like just talking some nonsense. I don't know, because I'm like half awake. But I don't care. I'm with my family, right? I know that people here love me and support me, even when I don't know what I'm saying, right? And I'm just rambling on like right now. But please take a moment to maybe talk to somebody that needs somebody to talk to. God will put it on your heart. You'll see them and say, I need you to talk to them. Say this to them. Let them know that they're loved, because they are. Okay? The end.
Is there anybody in the house that trusts in God? Anybody here? Okay. You ever get that feeling inside that you should stop and talk to some people or say a word to somebody, a stranger? And you may have other people with you, and you feel like, I don't know if I should do that. I might look like a fool in front of my friends. I might not have the words to say. But I'm here to encourage you that if you have words to say, it's because God gave them to you, and He wants you to use those words. He's given you everything that you need, but sometimes we're afraid. Coming up here and grabbing this mic is a scary thing for most of us. It's a scary thing for me. Is when God tells you to go up there and say something, there's somebody in the audience that needs to hear what you have to say. And if we don't say it, and we just sit there after the service, you're going to say, I should have said something. Because what He'll do is He'll send somebody else in your place to say that very same thing. So if you trust in God and you're getting those feelings, we don't want to share the gospel with our families because they don't believe and they don't want to hear it. But if we've never shared with them, who else is going to do it? Right? We have to be emboldened sometimes. If you trust in God and you get that urge, follow through with it. That's how you get your experience. That's how you get better at it.
Struggling and trying to, I was starting to was, we were at a restaurant, and I was looking over at this table, and there was this group of clearly, like, Assembly of God Christians. I don't know, they were very, they were really alive. And I was just looking at them, and I was like, man, And I remember praying, you know, kind of, talking to God. I don't remember exactly what I said, but the thing happened is as that group was leaving, we kind of ended up leaving the same time. And this lady came from that group, and she came and she talked to me, and she said exactly what I needed to hear. And I was just like, oh my gosh, because that was exactly what I needed from God. And he brought it to me right at the time I needed it through a stranger who just listened to God. And she told me, well, yeah, God told me to come talk to you. And I was like, wow. So, It was so impactful to my life, and real close to the same time that God brought John and Stella in my life, who were hugely impactful. But yeah, I just want to encourage you. It makes a difference to reach out to strangers like that.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many know God never fails? Amen. Hallelujah. Just raise your hands right now. Just give them a thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, Lord. We worship you. We praise you, God. God, we know that without you, we can do nothing, Father. But, Lord, with you, all things are possible by him. Hallelujah. That loved us and gave himself for us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Thank you for coming this morning. Figure I better start preaching, otherwise I'm going to keep it till 2 o'clock instead of 1 o'clock. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. All of you that spoke, the kids, the team that went to youth convention. I will tell you, I miss youth convention. They won't let me in. They tell me I'm not young enough. Hallelujah. I say, man, I'll tell you what. Castles and Coasters, I remember that. Kathy, Abe, Micaiah, where you're at, man, I remember Castles and Coasters. Hallelujah. I sat on the benches over there and watched all the kids run around. That's all I did. A lot of fun. But the best things are the presence of God in the services. And I was a shark, man. If kids didn't go up, I'd go find out why they didn't go up. Dum, 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 like I'm John. And I talked to them. I said, man, I'm going to talk to you until you go up front, bro. Man, what do you want to do? You want to go up front? You want to hang out here with me? Oh, I'll go up front. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, there's something about being up front with them people. There's somehow that there's a presence of God. You know, when there's kids who are jumping around like a bunch of little what do you call them? Yeah. Jumping beans, popcorn, whatever. They're jumping around. There is something that's within them that begins to just open up before the Lord. Can you say amen to that? That's why I hope that our services will get that way once in a while. I mean, it doesn't have to be every time. Come on, man. But once in a while, man, you can do a jump. Is that right? Do I hit you up with this every Sunday? I do, don't I? I won't get you every Sunday. But hey, it doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't hurt for us to get up and move around a bit. Can you say amen to that? Oh, I trust in God. Yeah, my Savior. You're slapping people on the head with that. Is that okay? That's okay. Can you say amen to that? That's all right, man. Just enjoying the presence of God. I'll tell you what, in heaven, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. Can you say amen to that? There's going to be some joyful worship going on. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I better get started. Everybody go. Come on. Thank God this is the last of the series of the fruit of the Spirit. And the last one, which is the best one, is on love. Can you say amen to that? How many know it's important? Like I heard it up here, man, we need to show love. Is that okay? I mean, the world gets enough condemnation. Is that right? They get enough stuff from Christians, if you would say. But if you're really filled with the Spirit of God, then love is going to come out of you. Can you say amen to that? Because love, how many know the Word of God says God is love? Is that right? Hallelujah. And I'm going to start out with a statement right now. You really have no excuse. All right? You really got no excuse for doing anything contrary to God's will if the Spirit of God is in you. Can you say amen to that? Oh, we might get it wrong once in a while, but you really got no excuse. Our excuse flies out the window when we say, God, come into my life. How many say amen to that? It really does. It really does. Because God, I mean, you can't hold unforgiveness. Can you say amen to that? That's just not part of the kingdom. Is that right, Randy? You talked about the kingdom, right? Is there unforgiveness in this kingdom? There is not. This is a kingdom. This is God's kingdom we're talking about. And we are, somebody asked me, you talk about kingdom a lot. Are you talking about Jehovah's Witnesses? Nope. No. But yes, we are Jehovah's Witnesses, but we're not the Jehovah's Witnesses that have that kingdom office. Can you say amen to that? You guys know what I'm saying? We're different. I mean, is that right? Look at your neighbor and say you're different. Look at the person sitting next to you. You're different. There's something about you. Hallelujah. I'm gonna take you. I'm just gonna take you down a little memory lane first. Is that okay? John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world, right, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, what? Through Him, the world might be saved. Is that what it says? God offers us the best deal that you could find anywhere. How many say amen to that? Isaiah 53, verse, I guess it's 4 and 5. If I'm going a little fast, it's because you all talk too much. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Come on. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. He was bruised for our iniquities. If there's anybody in the room that has never given your heart to the Lord, I would say right now is a good time to do it. Because He offers us the biggest and best gift we could ever receive from anybody. Can you say amen to that? It is, He offers you, when Jesus came and died on the cross, and when he died for you, this was the manifestation of the love of God. Do you understand that? God's love for you, He died for you. He washed your sins away. What a gift, amen? What a gift. It's a beautiful gift. For anyone to ignore this beautiful gift, it's kind of sad, amen? Pretty sad. And I'm glad there's folks in, most of you in here, how many of you are saved in here? You better raise your hand, otherwise I'm going to grab you and bring you up here. No. Are you saved? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Did Jesus pour out Himself on a cross for you? Did He do it? If you were the only one, He would do it for you. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. I want to go to John chapter 18, starting at verse 28. I'm going to read just this a little bit because I want to say this again. This is the manifestation of God's love. Jesus Himself was a manifestation of God's love. The Bible says that He so loved the world that He sent His Son. It's the manifestation of the love of God. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas under the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. They didn't want to get messed up. Man. But that they might eat the Passover, and they wanted to maybe be able to eat the Passover, so they said, we can't go in there. And Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? And they answered and said to him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered it up to you. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said to him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. You see, with being in the Romans occupying Jerusalem, they couldn't, the Jews could not put anybody to death. They had to go through the Romans because they were they were being controlled by the Romans, so they couldn't put anybody to death. So this is what they're telling them. Therefore, they said to him, it's not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying of what kind of death he should die. Then Pilate entered in the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of yourself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Come on, he said, hey man, Jesus, what kind of answer was that? Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. And Pilate answered and said, thou art, then you are a king. Thou art a king, he says. Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. And listen to this, what he says, to this end I was born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. What is the truth? What's the truth? God so loved the world. That's the truth. Jesus said, I came into the world to bear witness to that truth. That God loves you. Can you say amen to that? He loves you. Hallelujah. So, you know, folks, sometimes we can just live our lives and just keep going. Just, you know, yeah, I'm saved and do whatever we want to do. But see, God saved us for a purpose. Is that right? There's a reason why he called you. There's a reason why he washed you clean. There's a reason why he's continuing to wash you and cleanse you. There's a reason. Because I will tell you, love has to be without any kind of contamination. Can you say amen to that? Your love for somebody can't be contaminated. Again, if I can get these words right in a row. Can't be contaminated because you just like the way they look. Or you like the way they sing, or you like the way, you can't be contaminated. This kind of love is a love that wells up within you and it comes from God and it pours out. Can you say amen to that? That's the real love. This is the kind of love that God had for you. For God so loved the world that he sent his son, born of a virgin, and came into this earth, lived a life, taught 12 men, ticked off a whole nation. Can you say of priests, so that he could die on a cross for you and me. Can you say amen? Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice, is what he says. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again with the Jews, under the Jews, and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore I release to you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe and said, hail, king of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate went forth and said to them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that you might know that I find no fault in him. Nothing wrong with this guy. Can you say amen to that? Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said to them, behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered, said to him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself. And then he said, they say that the Son of God. This is what we're upset about. He says he's the Son of God. Praise God. How many of you know if Christ is in you, you're a son or a daughter of God? Do you know that? You're a son of God. Can you say that? A lot of people, man, that's so hard to realize because I know myself. I know what I feel. But it doesn't matter what you think. It's what God has done for you. Can they say amen? You are a son of God. Ladies, you're a son of God. Whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, it's not a gender. There's no gender. Tommy, is there any gender in this thing? It is Christ dwelling in you. You are a son. Ladies, you're a son. See, we get the same feeling that it's kind of weird because, you know, the Bible says we're the bride of Christ. Is that right? We're the bride. Hey, I'm a bride. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Yeah. See, it's not gender. There's no gender involved in this. It's who we are and what God says we are. Can you say amen to that? Come on. Huh. Oh, yeah. Come on, bro. Crucify him, crucify him. I said, take ye him. Find no fault in him. The Jews answered, we have a law, and that law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Oh, what? Nah, he can't be the Son of God. Then when Pilate therefore heard that saying, guess what he did? It scared him. He was more afraid. Whoa. How many of you know in Scripture it tells them? In Matthew, the Bible tells us that Pilate's wife told him, don't have anything to do with this guy. I have suffered many things in a dream concerning this guy. Leave him alone. Pilate is already being set up for this. But how many know that God's purposes are going to be, they're going to happen. God knows what he's doing. And even Pilate himself couldn't stop what was going on in front of him. Can you say amen to that? Some people say, man, if God could have just let him off the hook. No, he couldn't let him off the hook. Is that right? Why couldn't he let him off the hook? Because he wasn't here for himself. He was here for all of us. So that we might know the Father, know the truth that God loves you. Can you say amen to that? So he was all the more afraid, and he went again to the judgment hall and said to Jesus, from whence are you? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate to him, speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not? I like this guy. Sometimes we think we're bigger than we are, right? He said, don't you know that I have power to crucify you and I have power to set you free? Jesus answered and said, you could have no power at all against me except it were given to you from above. Therefore, he that delivers me to you has the greater sin. And from thenceforth, can you read or what? From thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement. But in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Isn't that crazy? We got no king but Caesar. Oh, out of the words of your mouth, bro. Can you say amen to that? Come on, man. We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he up, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth to a place called the place of a skull, which is called Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. He did all of that. He came and he died for us because he loved us. For God so loved the world that because he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And I just want to say, God's manifestation of his love is Jesus Christ, the person of Christ. That's who he is. He's love. Okay. All right. How many say that? How many say amen? Amen. Jesus is love. Is that right? God is love. Jesus is love. Is that okay? Are you guys all right with that? I hope so, because that's what I'm telling you. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says this. All have sinned. Okay. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that right? How many? How many is all? That all is all. Can't get around it. All is all. Everybody. Don't care how good you think you are. You too. We've all sinned. We all need a Savior. Is that okay? We all need a Savior. The next verse says, Romans 5:8 says this. While we were, God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ, what? Died for you. He died for you. You didn't even know him. You didn't know his name. Is that okay? Yet he knew you. He knew you. He knows you. And he died for you. He knew you. Jesus said in John chapter, remember when he was talking to Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again. Is that right? He says, you've got to be born again even to see the kingdom of God. Is that okay? If a person isn't born again, they got no idea what we're talking about. God commends his love towards us. We haven't got that yet. Are we stuck, Terry? Are we jammed up? John chapter 3:3, I'm sorry. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you would, Terry, verses 5 and 6, he says it to him again. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen? We got this, right? This is like Christianity 101, right? If you want to call it that. You got to be born again, born of the Spirit, to enter into the kingdom of God. When you're born of the Spirit, what happens? You receive Christ as a Savior. Is that correct? You receive Christ, and then the Spirit of God comes in within you. Can you say amen to that? He comes into you, not like in the Old Testament, where he was upon David and upon the kings. He actually comes into you. Like Tommy said, he makes a home within you. Is that okay? That's cool. You're born again. Galatians 2:20 says this. It makes this declaration. You got crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you're alive. Is that right? But not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? Praise God. So who's in you? Christ, right? How many know there's a battle going on within you? Does anybody know that? Do you know that your biggest enemy is the old man? Do you know that? It's not the devil sitting out there on the rocks. He's not omnipresent. Is that right? How many times I got to tell you this? How many times we got to say that? Like Jesus, he goes, didn't I not say to you, if you just have faith? How many times we got to say this? The devil's not omnipresent. Yeah, maybe he's got some imps around, but quit talking about him like he's some kind of power in your life. Can you say amen to that? He's not a power in your life. He's nothing to you. We are here to take dominion. Is that right? We are here with an authority to subdue the earth. Is that okay? Do you have that authority? You're a son of God, all of you. You're sons of God. You have been given the authority to subdue the earth, to take dominion over it. Is that okay? Is that all right? Because of what Christ has done, there's a little bit that you had to do. You had to believe him. And that's what got you in. But now you are a son. Yeah, with authority. Now he's living within you, but a battle happens between our old guy and our new guy. Is that right? Who's going to win? Who wins the battle, everybody? Who's going to win? Don't be afraid to tell me that. Don't be afraid to tell me this. I will tell you who's going to win. It's whoever you feed the most. I like eating tacos. I love tacos, man. Yeah. Every once in a while, I love enchiladas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, praise God. Yeah. But I will tell you what, if I try to fast, my body goes into some kind of freaky thing. How many fast? Anybody here fast? Anybody like to fast? Nobody like it. You like to fast. I don't like fasting. My body don't like fasting. It's now come on. You gotta be kidding me. How many know whenever you're fasting, everything smells good? Is that right? I used to work at the garage down the street from there. There used to be a restaurant, right? Where you come up, this old Circle K here, go just, it was called Sonny's Restaurant. Does anybody remember Sonny's Restaurant? Yeah, Sonny's Restaurant. Yeah, you guys thought I was losing my memory. I know. I guess it was Sonny's. And man, while I was working in the garage down the street from him, I could smell pancakes. I could smell eggs. You know, eggs being cooked don't carry very far, does it? But boy, I could smell them because I was fasting. I could even smell the syrup somebody was pouring on them pancakes back then, man. I mean, it was crazy. The rest of the time, if I'm eating, you see, because my body's fat, my body is fighting against me. It wants to do what it wants to do. There's a war going on. How many know that this war happens to all of us? We all have this war. We all do. There's not one of us that doesn't fight these battles. But I'll tell you what, it's whoever you feed the most. If you get up in the Word, you get up in the morning, you go to the Word of God, you begin feeding your spirit. The Word of God. Can I tell you what the Word, it's like doing, what do I call them? Curls. Are those curls? Bro, are those curls? Yeah, curls. What are the ones where you lay on your back and you're doing? Bench press, is that right? Do some spiritual bench pressing and curls with the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? Because you need it. Your spirit needs to be charged with the Word of God, because your old man is going to try to climb out of the grave. Can you say amen to that? How many of you ever had your old man climb out of the grave? Doesn't he stink? He stinks. And how many say, I hate it when that happens. Can you say amen to that? I hate it when he comes up and he pops his mouth off and he hurts somebody's feelings. And then the Lord says, go apologize to him. You got to go over there and say, hey, I'm sorry, man. But you got to go there because the Lord tells you. Is that right? This happens between me and my wife. Most of the time, she never apologizes because she don't usually say things. I'm the one. Hey, man. What? I could. Rice? How about tacos? Yeah. Come on, man. And so the Lord's always after me. Go tell her. Go talk to her. What we have to realize is that that's in you is love. It's overwhelming love. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you what this world, what would it look like if we allowed it just to flow? Just for it to flow like God wants it to flow. You know, these fruit that we're talking about, Jesus walked up to the fig tree and he was looking for a fig. You remember that? And he didn't find it. He didn't find a fig. So he stepped back and he cursed the tree. Why would he do something like that? Don't you say poor tree? Don't you? I mean, maybe somebody picked all the figs off already or whatever. That poor tree. I really believe it was for us. He was showing us something. That God is really looking for fruit. But the fruit he's looking for, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. And the biggest, the strongest one in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest fruit that we can ever release out of our tree, can you say amen? Is allow the Holy Spirit to love people unconditionally, unreservedly, amen? Even those folks that are waving, you guys know who I'm talking about. They're saying things about you. Can you say amen to that? Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11 says this. Look at it, I got 3 minutes left to go and I got 30 scriptures left. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Can you see that? But the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. He that raised Christ up from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Do you understand that? That Spirit, that same Spirit that's in you will quicken you. He will cause you. I mean, you got something going on, man. You just talk to the Lord about it. I mean, I believe in doctors. I believe that God gives them to folks so to help them. Can you say amen to that? But I will tell you, resist that knee-jerk. Hey, if you get hit in the head and you got a gashing wound, you better go to the doctor. Because Hank don't know how to sew up wounds like that. But other than that, you got something going on. You're feeling low. Talk to the Lord about it. Resist that knee-jerk to go to the doctor and find out. Because it could be God is trying to say something to you. Amen to that? I have had times where there was a young man that I was talking to early in the morning at work. And when he walked up to me, man, I got this huge headache. He goes, are you all right? Yeah, I got a bad headache. And he goes, hey, can I borrow the keys of the forklift? I need to take it. I said, take it, man. I don't want to use it. I don't feel like it. So he takes the forklift. And as soon as he leaves, my headache went away. A little while later, I'm up in the mill. He's on that forklift and he drives underneath me and I look down and I see him and I got this headache. As soon as I saw him, my head's like, what's going on with this headache? Went away when he went away. I didn't even realize what was happening. A little while later, right before lunchtime, he's standing in front of the soda machine. He's getting ready to buy a soda and I'm looking at him and I get this headache. And I walk up to him, I go, you got a headache? He goes, I do, man. It's been hell. It's been hurting me all morning, man. I said, can I pray for you? He says, sure. I prayed for him. He went and had lunch. He came back. After he came out of that, he goes, hey, Eric, my headache went away. So sometimes we're feeling symptoms, and they're not even ours. They could be somebody else's. And God's just trying to help you out to say, hey, man, there's somebody who can come by you and by your way, and I want you to pray for them. It could be a lot of things, but I will tell you, the Spirit of God will quicken whatever's going on that you need. Can you say amen to that? He will quicken you. This is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of love in you. He loves you. Can you say amen to that? Some folks might say, well, why is this thing still holding on to me? Some folks might say, hey, well, I've been going for something a long time. God would say to you, the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for him, okay? Because whatever's going on, God knows about it. You don't have to keep telling him about it. Just thanking him for touching you. Thank him for speaking life into you. Thank you for his love that dwells within you. Thank him for removing all fear. Okay? Because he loves you. He is a God of love. Love. He sent a son for you, to die for you, to wash you and cleanse you. Hallelujah. Romans 5:5, look at what the Holy Ghost does for us. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. You see that? God's love is shed in your hearts. See, it's not your love anymore. Can you say amen to that? I got to say this. The fruit of the Spirit do not belong to you. They come from the Spirit of God. Love. I love my kids. How many say amen to that? I love my kids. But that love in the kingdom, useless. It's got to die. So that the love of God, and I'll tell you what, the love of God, which is greater than our own love, that anything that we can generate, the love of God comes with it. Now you love your kids. Can you say amen to that? Those kids are loved. Oh, yeah, and them kids that they hang out with, I love them kids. Yeah, they're great kids. Can you say amen? Because it's not you, it's the love of God that dwells in you. You can't pick and choose who to love, who not to love. God didn't do that, didn't he? Didn't he tell us that? For God so loved the world. He loves, period. So what do you mean, Henry? My love is no good. Remember when Jesus said, hey, he goes, you know, hey, Peter, you're the rock. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Peter's going, yeah. He's feeling good about himself. Yeah. Hey, boys, I'm the rock, eh? Come on, man. Come on. Call me the stone. I'm the rock, man. Look at them guns. I'm the rock is what he says. Man, I'm the rock. And then Jesus says, they're gonna take me and they're gonna crucify me and I'm gonna die. And Peter, and I believe it's out of his love for God, for Jesus, said, not so, Lord. No way. They're not gonna do that to you. What does Jesus now call him? He's got a different name for him, is that right? Satan. Hey, bro, come on, God, you call me Satan? See, because Satan is basically the word Satan. All it is a resistance to the will of God. That's all it is. That's all. It's not so much this prince that's out there, it's the resistance to the will of God. That's what's happening within you when you want to do the things that God wants you to do, but there's something within you that causes you not to do the thing. It's that resistance that the old man puts up. Just tell him to go away. Tell him, let him die. Resist the resistance. Can you say amen? Remember, what does the word of God say? Resist the devil, he'll flee from you, right? Resist that resistance, release it, and watch what God will do. Because his desire is that the love of God flow through you. Is that okay? I hope you're getting this, because I'm getting this. This is probably a sermon for me. Right, Johnny? Johnny says, man, you are the most unlovable guy. I said, man, okay. Yeah, but I tell you what, this service is for me. Check this out. Paul's prayer. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named. Can you say amen to that? Paul's praying. He's talking about him praying. He says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Where? Where does he want you strong? In the inner man. All right? Not so much that mind, that big head that you got. Not so much that big old head you got. You know everything. You know how to think. You know how to walk. You know how to talk. Not so much that. He's talking about that inner man, that little guy that's in there that speaks quietly and still voice. In a small, still voice, he talks to you. He said that he wants you to be strengthened in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Who? Christ. Is that right? That you being rooted and grounded in what? Love. See, he wants Christ to dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of who? Christ, that one that's within you, to know that love that passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, that love, when it begins to pour through and begins to push out, it's the fullness of God. This is what God did. I sent my son for you to die for you. He is the example of love. And when he starts flowing through us, folks, what can stop the church? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is that right? Ooh, there's nothing that can stop. Nothing can resist the love of God. Can you say amen to that? You can't even understand why he would love so much. Can you say amen? Oh, boy. All right, we're almost done. I'm only 6 minutes over. So, hey, we're almost done. Romans chapter 8:15 says this. And then I want you to think about, I didn't give you that, did I, Terry? No. I want to say, just Romans 8:15 says that the spirit of adoption within us calls out Abba Father. Is that right? Abba Father. But Galatians says it a little bit different. Galatians, can you put up Galatians 4:6, Terry? All right. Galatians says it a little bit different. In Romans 8, he calls it the spirit of adoption. And here he says, you are sons. God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. See, it is the spirit of Christ within you. Our key verse is John 4:19. It says that we love him because he first loved us. Is that right? We love him because he first loved us. See, because we don't know how to love. The Bible says that no man has seen God. Can you say amen? No man has seen God, but Christ, he's seen him. And Christ comes and places his love within us. Therefore, it's his spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. Do you understand that? This is how you know you're a son of God. This is the clarity that God brings to you because he says, you are a son. It seems a little bit wrong to place ourselves in that same category, doesn't it? But it's not, because it's him dwelling in you. I want you to take this home with you. I want you to look at this scripture because I've heard people quote this scripture. And a lot of times, and I'm not being judgmental, but a lot of times when I hear them say this, I can almost hear the Holy Spirit say, they don't quite understand this scripture. And I'm going to give this scripture to you. It is 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. I want you to look at this. I want you to go home and read this. Read it in the NIV. Read it in the Amplified. Read it in the Passion Translation. Read it in any kind of translation you can. But I want you to see something. No man has seen God at any time. Is that right? If we love one another, God dwells in us. His love is perfected in us. Can you say amen? Just by doing what? Loving one another. Love. Allowing it to flow out and run out and flow from you. His love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us. See, he wants you to know this. You're a son. You are bought with a price. Can you put me back to that first one? Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Amen. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God what? Dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love, what? Dwells in God, and God in him. And then it says this, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because, everybody say because, as he is, so are we in this world. I will tell you, you cannot hold anything against anybody if God's in you. It's against the law of the Spirit of Christ. Can you say amen to that? You've got to love everybody. Is that crazy? Is that nuts? When they cuss you out, you love them. Is that right? When they spit on your face, remember Jesus? When they platted a crown of thorns on his head, they hurt him. And then they spit on him. And then they clothed him with clothes they thought he'd look cool in. What did Jesus do? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They got no idea what it is. This was a man. This was the God. This was God's manifest example of what love is. Are we that way? I'm going to ask you that. Are we that way? Or do we pick and choose? Schumer, how's your love? Pelosi, how's your love? Come on, folks, we got nothing. We cannot do this kind of thing in our lives anymore. We have to show love. Is that okay? That's what subdues the earth and overtakes everything around us, is love. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Can you stand up? Can you stand up and... I'll pray for you real quick. Hey, I'm just reminding the guys, because I won't be here next week. Sorry. But the week after that, all you guys, try to make it to the men's advance. I started to say retreat. The men's advance. I think it's going to be good. It's kind of the focus is a little bit on AI. How many guys know what AI is, right? Artificial intelligence, is that right? Well, we're not artificial at all, are we? We're authentic. We're to be authentic influence. And that's what we're going to talk about, the authentic influence. And it's going to be fun. Got some great music coming. Got a great preacher coming. They're coming from all over the country. Can you say amen to that? Sierra Vista, Tucson, California. Yeah. We got some, it's going to be fun. And then Cesar's going to preach Sunday morning, ladies, so you guys won't be home. You'll hear him. Folks, love is the cornerstone of who we are, the love of Christ. Let love abound, is that what the Word of God says? So I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to ask you. I'm just going to say over you that whoever you come in contact with, you're going to show them love one way or the other. Can you say amen to that? How many of you are willing to do that? Everybody you come in contact with, are you willing to show them love? So, Father, I just thank you for your people, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that this week, oh boy, this is going to be good. This week, Father, that whoever they come across, their co-workers, those in the store, those that are driving, whoever they come across that get in their face or are just nice to them. Father, you're going to show great love to each and every person that's hearing the sound of my voice and those that will hear on the podcast, Father God, that this is the will of God for your people, God. I thank you for it, God. So, Lord, touch them, bless them. Strengthen them, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you for coming to Church Sunday. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.